Sponsorship of the BR Guest Podcast brought to you, as always, here on a Wednesday by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now I'm in a cold, I mean freezing, St. Louis, Missouri with some snow flurries coming down, but I can look down at my iPhone 6 and see that I'm down to 64 days to go until the Star Wars Dark Side Half Marathon weekend down at Walt Disney World. It warms me up every time I look down for a text, a phone call, or to update a Facebook status. I get excited for my next trip, and you can do the same thing. You're going to get great pictures, you'll get audio alerts, and more. Totally customizable, and you need this on your iOS device. Check it out today. Drop by virtualmickey.com and download Days to Go WDW.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 974 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Hopefully you're having a great midweek. It is the week after the Super Bowl, and hopefully you are recovered from a big weekend, especially our folks out in the West, out in Bronco Nation. Congratulations to you guys. Peyton was parading up and down Main Street, USA, out at Disneyland earlier this week. And just hope everybody had a great Super Bowl weekend, Super Weekend. And you're back here. We're going to answer your listener questions and have a good time talking Disney here on a Wednesday. Joining me today from touringplans.com, themouseforless.com, and a Disney World After All.com. I forgot your website for like one split second, Ricky,
right,
because your sound quality's throwing me off my game. But what's up, Ricky? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Yeah, I definitely ate too much this weekend. I will tell you that. Like, I ate too much junk food. It was really bad. I mean, it was really good, but, you know, it was really bad for my body probably. So.
Oh, man, I tore up some junk food on Sunday. It was ridiculous. I shouldn't have eaten that much.
No, I should never have eaten that much, but it was delicious, so I don't regret my life choices.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. How's it going, Pam?
It is going great. I like that we're recording and streaming at the same time. That seems very technology advanced for us. So, anyways, it's awesome. That's, and Ricky's with us.
I am, finally.
Ricky sounds like she's from 1989, and we are live streaming on Facebook as we record tonight. Kind of fun.
We went back in time.
We did. All right, time to answer your listener questions. First one comes from Justine. She's from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. She says, hello, everyone. I have a question regarding renewing my annual pass and the activation of Memory Maker included with the AP. I'll be back in early March. My annual pass expires at the end of February. I will renew online prior to our trip. However, I will not activate my voucher until I arrive. I'm going with a group and want to make sure the Memory Maker will be available as soon as we are there. I know if you purchase Memory Maker separately, you have to wait 3 days until it is activated. Is this the same with an AP? Will my Memory Maker activate with the renewal of my AP or the activation of the AP voucher? I hope that makes sense. Hope to meet you guys in person someday. Love the show. Thanks, Justine. All right, so Ricky, what do you think there? She's got an annual pass voucher because she's renewing.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that as soon as she renews that sucker, Memory Maker is good to go, right?
Yeah. Mine kicked in as soon as I, you know, renewed my pass. So, yeah, it should work automatically.
And the 3-day waiting period is only for the discounted Memory Maker. If you buy, you can buy a full price Memory Maker on Disney World property that's active as soon as you purchase it. So the one that you get with your annual pass is just like that. So
perfect. Easy. Awesome. All right, we're off to a good start. Next question comes from Bob Weck. He says, hello, BOGP crew. I am praying that nothing will come up this time that will thwart our trip to Disney in April of 2016. We have had various issues arise, which have forced us to make changes to our dates in the past. I hate having to do that, but it was necessary. I was curious, though, as travel agents, how big of a pain is it for us guests to request that our dates be changed? To give an example, we found that we can actually be down earlier than we originally planned. Is it a big deal to add the 2 days to the front end if we do not want it as a split stay but have it under one reservation? I'm wondering if I'm giving my travel agent fits. What are your biggest pet peeves that guests do? Bob is up in Leslie, Michigan. He says, thanks for all you do. All right, Pam, you know the way I look at this is that we provide a service, you know, as a travel agent, as somebody who does help plan Disney vacations, and we are there for the guests. We want the guests in the bottom, you know, when it's all said and done, to have the exact date you want, components. We just want you to have the best vacation ever. So what are you going to give to Bob on this one? I like how he's kind of thinking from the other side of the perspective here.
We appreciate guests who think about that, actually. I mean, really, that's a cool thing. But absolutely not, especially if you're booked with one of our agents. I know that we talk about this frequently. We are happy to make whatever changes you need to get the vacation that you have in your little mind's view of your vacation. I mean, I think that that's an important part of it. And sometimes you change your mind. Sometimes there's like, you know, you said it was for a valid reason, but there's, you know, anytime that you need to make a change or you want to make a change, that's a valid reason. I do it myself. I'll have something planned and then I'm like, you know what? I was going to stay here, but I think I want to stay there. And, you know, we make the change. It's just part of the job and we are happy to do it.
And actually, you know, we are streaming live here tonight as we record the show. Kind of a new thing for us. And Jeanette, one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less, is in the chat room. And she says she would much rather have a guest who asks for exactly what they want and get the vacation they were dreaming about than somebody that never asked, you know, and kind of comes back slightly disappointed from Walt Disney World because Absolutely. It wasn't what they were expecting. I think that's a great way to put it. And I will tell you, you know, from a practical point of view, you know, from somebody that's working with guests each day, Disney has made it slightly easier for us. We can do some things online now that we used to have to wait, you know, hours on the phone to get done. And bottom line is we're providing a service. We appreciate you booking with us and we just want you to be happy. And a lot of times I know what happens is people will book a vacation package a long way out and maybe airfare makes it cheaper to actually stay an extra day or two. So yeah, definitely always make those changes.
It's absolutely true. And one more thing I want to say, Jeanette said it so well, but I just want to say like, there are people who are like, would write to me all the time. I'm sorry, I have another question. Never apologize for that. I would rather 100 times over you ask me questions than to not. As a travel agent, I don't know what you have questions about unless you ask them of me.
Right.
And so, I mean, there are people who are in all different kinds of, you know, planning. They like to do this kind of planning or they know this about it or they're experts or they're newbies or they're whatever. And we just want you to ask the questions and feel like you are settled. When you go, I want you to know what you're going to do and feel comfortable with that.
Exactly. So never hesitate to contact your travel agent. We serve for our guests and, you know, Disney pays us. That helps us do things. But I mean, it's, you know, we have to put in some work. That's what we do. And it's our pleasure. We like doing that. So don't worry about that. Great question, though. All right, next question comes from Kathleen Pantello. It says, hey there, Ricky, Debbie, Pam, and Mike. I know this may be cutting it close to our trip over February break, but do you know if I'm going out to dinner with friends and one wants to pay the bill with her credit card, would we be able to have the benefit of my Tables in Wonderland card even if I'm not paying? Congrats on the dopey, Mike. I was following along on social media and was very proud of you. All right, thanks, Kathleen. I was kind of glad to get to that finish line myself. I didn't know if I was going to make it, but I was glad to have friends that pushed me there. So, Pam, I know you use tables, and I use it when I'm on vacation, but I never pay attention. I always keep my tables card right next to my credit card, and I always pay my own bill. But it sounds like the situation is her friend wants to use her credit card, the friend's credit card, but Kathleen is the Tables in Wonderland card holder. Is that cool? Can you do that?
So we have had actually this come up and we've had both things happen.
Right.
One time we've actually had a server tell us that we had to use, specifically Steve had to use his credit card. Because I don't know how Tables is in Steve's name, but somehow it is. it seems like it should be in mine. But anyway, right. So that Steve had to pay for that. And then we've had other servers who haven't given it a second thought. So, I mean, I guess probably the official rule is that the person paying has to match the name on Tables in Wonderland, but you can try to see and then, you know, I guess just don't be too disappointed if they're sticking to the letter of the law, if not the intent. So
yeah, those rule followers will get you every time.
Right? What's up with that?
What's up? Just run the card. We're paying $150 for this meal. Come on. Give me my 20%.
For a burger and some fries.
Exactly. Great question. We got some good ones today. All right, next question comes from Lynn Rasmussen. And she says, "Hi, Mike. I have asked a question before about our trip plan for the spring, March of 2017. But since you asked for more, here is another one. We have been to Disney several times, so we're generally familiar with the parks and have our favorites. We won't be back until our 2017 trip. Do you have any insight into what new things will be ready and must do in 2017? New Soarin', Rivers of Light, Frozen at Epcot? I'm excited to have some new things to look forward to. P.S. Wish me luck. I'm going to the Minnesota Vikings playoff game tomorrow, and the forecast high is about zero without the wind chill. The Super Bowl will probably be over by the time you read this, but go Vikes." Yeah, I'm thinking it's not going to turn out very well for your Vikings.
No, not well for the Vikings.
Hang on, let me make my prediction. We got videos, so I can do my, what's that guy called on Johnny Carson?
That's
Karnak.
I need an envelope. Hang on, I'm going to use a business card instead of an envelope. I predict Peyton Manning will win the Super Bowl and retire. Yes.
Wow.
I am so good. All right, anyway, so let's get back to the question at hand. This video thing's kind of getting out of hand here. So must-dos, Ricky, you're the must-do. If it isn't Stacy, if we can't get Stacy Aswad on the line tonight,
it's
going to be Ricky.
It's going to have to be me.
But
yeah.
I think she named some of the big things. Soarin', Rivers of Light, Frozen at Epcot. Those are three good 2017 things to think about.
Yeah, actually, all three of those things are opening this year, so in 2016, so that's great. Frozen is supposed to open, as of right now, looking at around May-ish. Soarin' is summertime, it's saying, so maybe June. And Rivers of Light,
what? That's not summertime in Disney speak.
Well,
summertime is any time before the Christmas lights go up.
That's true, that's true. It'll be August before it's open. No, I really don't know. I'm just taking a guess at June. Because I know that Shanghai opens, June 15th or something, I think, right? So I think they have to wait until it opens in Shanghai before it can open here. And then all bets are off. And then Rivers of Light we should be getting word on that, any time now, I think. So, because I've heard March, April for that. So we should be getting word soon about that. As for in 2017, as of right now, not hearing about a whole lot. Only thing I'm hearing is Avatar, and that is supposedly not opening until the very end of 2017. So it's not looking good for that. But everything else that's opening this year, you're good for. So that's good.
All right, 2017, and it's nice because that's still, we have, probably about 15 months away from that trip, it sounds like, and there will be some new things to see, so it's exciting, a lot of people were saying that Walt Disney World was getting a little stale, but it definitely won't be over the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, and then you have the finalized Disney Springs as well, which is, sometime by the end of this year, they say, supposedly, so...
All right.
We'll see.
We will see. All right, let's get to the next question. It's from Tiffany Richard. It says, "Hey, everyone. Just wanted to ask Mike, why does he pick Port Orleans Riverside over Port Orleans French Quarter? We have only stayed at the French Quarter, but would like to know why he prefers Port Orleans Riverside. Thanks so much. Great job on the podcast. You have turned into my number one podcast. Keep up the good work." Yes.
We like that.
Where's my Nelly song?
No.
Number one. He's from St. Louis. I could just probably stick my head outside the studio and have him come on in. Anyway, so why is Riverside better than French Quarter? Both great resorts. I love both. Okay, and there's advantages to French Quarter because it's smaller. It only has one bus stop. Things are more compact as far as getting to the food court area. So those are pluses for French Quarter. However, I enjoy the theme better at Riverside. That's just a personal thing. Themes, I know, Pam, it's not your favorite theme. We've talked about that on here. But I love the Old South theme. I think it just is beautiful. I like the bridges. I like the river, which goes through both. We love the Royal Rooms. We tend to stay in those. The girls like them. They're just, it's a touch of Disney. Where else are you going to stay with fireworks in the headboard? The princesses and their princes on the walls. It's like a magic carpet in the car, you know, in the carpet itself on the floor. I like knowing that I can go see Yeehaw Bob at night, and he's at my home resort, so I can just walk back to the room. I really enjoy the food court. I love the pool area better at Riverside than French Quarter. Both are nice, but it's a little bit bigger over at Riverside. And it's a good place to run. It's got a little bit more of a running path to it than French Quarter. French Quarter, you're kind of running right through the middle of the resort, where Riverside, you kind of feel like you're running more towards the outside of the resort or on a bigger, wider path. It's hard to say why I pick one over the other than that. You know, it has four bus stops. That's probably not ideal compared to French Quarter. But I've just fallen in love with Riverside. I think it's great. So, Pam, you know, compare and contrast the two. Is there anything I left out with French Quarter and Riverside?
I think you did a great job. I think the things that we hear again and again from guests is, first of all, people who are looking for a really small sized resort feel more comfortable with that, prefer French Quarter because it is, you know, a very small resort. You can walk from one side to the other, I don't know, in a couple minutes. I mean, it's, you know, it's small, not in a bad way. But, you know, I think the other thing is at Riverside, you have the sit down restaurant, which you don't really have at French Quarter. And while it's just a walk away, sometimes that's really important. Like you feel like, okay, seriously, I've been walking around these parks all day. I don't want to walk another step. I just want to go and have a decent meal. And I will say that we've had decent meals at Boatwright, although we tried to get in there on Marathon Weekend. It was quite a challenge.
How do you not get in Boatwrights? For those people that have walked past that place, there's always tables open. We were just wanting to eat. And there were, you know, I guess it was a staffing issue, I'm guessing.
Whatever. But anyway, so no, we've had that challenge a few times trying to get into Boatwright. So they kind of have the Kona system. They're like, we see all these empty tables. Yeah, you can't have those. It'll be 45 minutes before we can seat you.
So. But I see it.
But anyways, but we ate there not too long ago and we really did have a decent meal. And so, you know, I don't mind that. But I think the theming of both, I've come to appreciate Riverside a little more in the past few years, but the theming at French Quarter, there's something about that cleaned up New Orleans.
Yeah, it's theme New Orleans
that's
without the
awesome.
Gunk. Yeah, exactly.
And at night, it's particularly lovely since they both have, you know, boats over to Disney Springs. I think their amenities are, you know, similar. The one other thing I will give a nod to Riverside about over French Quarter is, in addition to the main pool, you also have a number of quiet pools. And sometimes it's really challenging to find some seats by that main pool. So if the quiet pools are something that you would take advantage of, think of that.
And you can almost always on the discounts find a discount over at Riverside, where French Quarter can be excluded at sometimes. And because it's smaller, more of a challenge to find available rooms on a discount. So that's another reason to think about Riverside. All right, good questions. All right, let's keep it going here. This one is from John up in Michigan. He says, Mike, Ricky, Debbie, Pam, our family loves your podcast and we never miss an episode. Thanks for all of the advice you provide. We have stayed for a week in November for each of the last 3 years at the Yacht Club. When looking for another reservation, even a year out from now, we are having difficulty finding availability. Is it likely that it is actually sold out that far in advance, or do they hold some rooms and then release them later on for some reason? We go during non-busy times, so I'm surprised it would truly be sold out this far in advance. Any advice you can provide is appreciated. Thanks, John. All right, Pam, he's looking for, you know, non-busy times, and he's still not seeing availability. What do you think on that one?
So I would find it odd that that was the case, that it really wasn't available. And one of the reasons I'll say that you may be having difficulties is if you were looking at it online, sometimes it has issues pulling availability. If you were calling, they may have different availability. The other thing is that if you were booking soon after rates were released, sometimes they don't have everything loaded into the system yet, but it doesn't seem like you were since, you know, we didn't get this email that long ago. The other thing that can impact availability is a convention. Sometimes there are some really huge conventions that take place at Walt Disney World. The thing I will say to you, though, is if there are rooms at the Beach Club, you may want to consider that because they've been redone recently and they're beautiful. I really like them. The upgrade is awesome. So maybe you want to book that for now and keep checking back because something is better than nothing.
Yeah, good tips there. You know, look at the sister resort. But I would also echo the biggest thing I think that you've said that I found in practice is if you don't see availability, call in. Because a lot of times the online system isn't loaded and there is availability. It's there. They just, you got to call it in. So try that first. All right, next question comes from Janine Pipe. She's over in the UK. And it says, hi, Mike, Ricky, Pam, and Debbie. Firstly, a huge congratulations to Mike on the dopey. I was cheering you from the UK and via Ricky. Thanks so much. That's the reason I made it. I had people all over the world pushing me. That's why.
Absolutely.
All right. I love your show, and it truly gets me through my long, tedious gaps between visits. As you know, we are returning to Walt Disney World, staying at Port Orleans Riverside for 14 nights this August of 2016. Although it is my 7th and my husband's 9th trip, we have never before used the Disney dining plan. This year, we have the quick service dining plan. We are perfectly happy with this as we are fans of instant food and eating quickly, and we plan to pay out of pocket for a couple character meals as a treat too. We have our old favorite counter service places in the parks, but are keen to try some new things and venture over to the other resorts too, such as Wilderness Lodge and the Polynesian. Can you please each recommend somewhere you think we should try? One important factor, I am a strict vegetarian and none of us eat seafood. Thanks in advance for your suggestions and keep up the great work. Your good friend in the UK. All right, Pam. So they want to check out places like maybe Wilderness Lodge, Polynesian. Just venture out and do some counter service places they've never done. So what do you think? Where should they check out?
So there really are. I think that Disney has made such huge strides in this area in the past few years in terms of the offerings at the quick service locations. There just are a lot of good choices. And one of the choices I'm going to suggest is, although this will be a bit of a ride, head on over to Art of Animation and you check out the resort while you're there because there's so many things to see. But also make sure you eat at Landscape of Flavors because it is a great place to use your quick service dining credit, especially when there is they have so many desserts to choose from. It's not just like your little carrot cake or little chocolate cake in a little cup. So that's a huge one that I think you should give it a shot. And really, like I mentioned, there's just so much to see at Art of Animation. It's worth going and checking it out. We've mentioned this a few times, but we all love the new menu at Pecos Bill's.
Yep.
In fact, now I'm thinking about it right now and I'm hungry for some fajitas.
Fajitas.
So anyways, I think that that was a huge step up and, you know, they did bring back a burger, but you don't have to order it. Order one of the other specialties. And then other places at the resorts, I like the Gasparilla Grill at certain times. I think for dinner, it has a more expanded menu than it does at lunch. And I think there's some interesting choices there. And it's such an easy ride from the Magic Kingdom. But I'm also going to go ahead and put the quick service locations at the Polynesian and the Contemporary on that list as well. At the Polynesian, love that spot with the waffles and the chicken and hello Captain's Cooks. I mean, that was a great addition. And then at the Contemporary Resorts, the Contempo Cafe has always been a great one. Again, a monorail ride or a boat ride away from the Magic Kingdom. It has some fantastic choices. I will say one of my favorites, and this has been since it reopened, but it is a turkey sandwich that also has apples and apple butter and arugula and cheese, and it's grilled and it's fantastic. So make sure that you try that one. But you know, I've never had anything there that I didn't like. So enjoy. It's a great spot to be in, I think, when you have the quick service dining, because but since there's only two meals a day, it gives you an opportunity to eat at table service if you want to. And you can save money on the dining when you look at that versus the prices on the menu. So have fun.
Well, especially because you're prepaying for those quick service meals, so you don't have to worry about those. You know, the only thing on vacation that you're going to see is any of those, like you said, you know, paying out of pocket for a, you know, character meal here or there, maybe sit down for breakfast sometime. You know, it helps you kind of defer the cost for getting most of it paid up front. You know, that's kind of how I do my annual passes, where I add them to my package and then I upgrade them because I see most of my payment ahead of time. And I like to do that because it makes me feel better on vacation. I don't want to.
I think prepaying for, I prepay for all my vacations, and I think that it is the way to go. I arrive with everything paid for or as much as I can in advance, and it's awesome. So.
All right, Ricky, Pam named about every counter service.
I know, right?
At least everyone on the monorail loop and half of the Magic Kingdom. So what else do you, and Landscape of Flavors.
I know. Okay, so what's left?
We have Pepper Market.
Right, there you go. Well, that actually is a really good choice, though, to be honest. I really liked Pepper Market when I went there. So, yeah, go there. I was going to suggest Roaring Fork, also always a favorite of mine. I think they have awesome desserts there. And they also have a really good selection of options there for dining. They have some unique flatbreads and stuff like that. Because, you know, flatbreads are all the rage at Walt Disney World.
In St. Louis, we call that pizza.
Right, exactly. So I know that they said they're vegetarians. So ironically enough, like, I don't think that there's a lot of good, super great choices at Animal Kingdom, like, as far as the counter service places go.
Flame Tree
doesn't have anything.
Yeah, if you're a vegetarian, probably not a good idea.
And neither does Harambe Market, which those are the two, like, best options at Animal Kingdom, and neither one of them have like a lot of vegetarian dishes, which is kind of a bummer. I know that they have I think that they just put out some sort of vegetarian offering at Harambe Market since the last time I was there, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So, you know, you're kind of stuck with, you know, like, well, Pizza Fari, they just brought out, I think they brought out flatbreads now, so you can always go there for that too. And as far as Epcot, you know, you've got the land, so I really don't think you can go anywhere wrong with Sunshine Seasons, to be perfectly honest. Although I did see recently, I think Len actually tweeted out that Electric Umbrella has done a refurb of their menu, and I think that they have some really interesting, I thought I saw some vegetarian options that were on there as well. So you may want to take a look at that. I just briefly glanced at it, so you may want to take a look to see whether there's some vegetarian options on there that would interest them as well.
Wait,
so
what's this Electric Umbrella you speak of? I've never
heard
of it.
Yeah, I know. Usually nobody thinks about it, but I swear I saw that he tweeted that they had some interesting vegetarian options, so...
It took us 974 episodes to mention the Electric Umbrella.
Hooray, Electric Umbrella. You finally made it.
Got it in right before 1,000.
Wait, we're not sure if it's deserved yet.
Right. We're not sure it's deserved, but I did think I saw some vegetarian options. So.
All right. Well, let's get to the last question of the day. It comes from Diana. She's from New Jersey and says, hi, Mike and the BOGP crew. I just discovered your podcast over the summer while I was planning for my August 2015 honeymoon, and I'm now a huge fan of the show. I love the fact that you guys put out several shorter podcasts each week. They're the perfect length so I can listen as I get ready for work in the morning.
And
that was the plan 8 years ago. So it's good to know we do that every once in a while.
Yeah.
So good.
Right.
We are planning a big family Walt Disney World trip for May 2016 with my father and his fiance, my brother and his boyfriend, and of course, my husband and myself. We are a total of 6 people, and this will be our first time we are taking a trip to Walt Disney World with my dad in about 6 years. It is also the first time my brother's boyfriend has been to Walt Disney World since he was a very small child. So we want to make sure that we give him the real Disney experience on this vacation. I have 2 questions for you. Number 1, my family has been visiting Walt Disney World pretty regularly since I was 2 years old. So we obviously have certain restaurants we favor and traditions on our trips. However, since we're taking some newer additions to the family on this trip who are less familiar with Disney World, I was wondering if you had any recommendations for must-do restaurants for people who have either never been to Walt Disney World or have not been there in a very long time. I'm open to suggestions based on both food quality and or overall Disney ambiance. Quick service and table service suggestions welcome, and please note, we are fairly adventurous eaters. Okay, she has a second question, so let's hang on to that. I would say, I'm just going to throw a couple in. Let's each put in 1 table service, 1 quick service.
Okay.
I'm going to go 50s Primetime over at the studios because good food quality. I think everybody's going to like it. You don't have to be adventurous to eat there because it's like meatloaf, fried chicken, pot roast. But I think it's just a fun place to see and to experience. So I would say that one. And for my counter service not to miss, counter service has really stepped up lately. But still, I have to say one of the best counter service meals, at least in a theme park, is Columbia Harbor House at the Magic Kingdom. Good food and a good price. I mean, it's not much of an experience. Maybe if I was going for the experience. I mean, you got Backlot Express now over at the studios that serves the Star Wars menu, but it's not really, the restaurant's not themed to Star Wars.
No.
Just the food is.
No.
I don't know. So those are two out there. So Ricky, what do you think? Give a table service and a counter service.
All right. So I am going with Whispering Canyon over at the Wilderness Lodge. I think it's a lot of fun. You can have fun there, or you cannot. They have an option. No fun for you. They have an option where you have like a coaster on your table, and one side is green and says, "Yes, we want fun," basically, and the other side says, "No, we don't. It's red." So
it actually says I'm a fun hater on the one side. So.
We hate fun.
I would go for the other side, so I would go for the fun. Let's see here. I mean, I want to say Pecos Bills because it's so good. Our Flame Tree. So I know that we kind of mentioned those on the last one, but seriously, those two are so good. So, because you got the ambiance of Flame Tree with, you know, you can sit by the water's edge, which is really nice there. And, okay, Pecos Bills does not have a lot of ambiance, but it definitely has the all-you-can-enjoy fixins bar, all-you-can-pile-on your taco or burrito or whatever you've got going. So that wins for me.
Since we are recording live, we have two suggestions from the chat. It's Scott Gardner from up in Michigan, my good running buddy, says Sunshine Seasons. Don't miss that for your counter service there. And Robert Schultz, the big marathoner down there, says check out. What did he just say?
Trails End.
Yes, Trails End. Very good value and great food. All right, Pam, what do you think? A table service and a counter service. Try to give them something more adventurous. I know you guys tend to be more adventurous.
I'm going to. So instead of a counter service, I'm going to take you to a place where you can get food and drinks, and it is Jock Lindsay's
Niagara
Bar.
Excellent
which
choice.
I think a little drink and a snack is a perfect substitute for a counter service meal anyway. So
yes,
there's some great things to eat there. There's some great things to drink there, and it's very punny, very, very punny. So I will say that. It helps to know a little bit about Disney, but I think either way you can appreciate the ambiance. So
sorry, that was for your pun. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, that was for my very punny.
Yes.
Okay, I'll take it. I deserved it. And then I'm also going to stay at Disney Springs and suggest Morimoto Asia for you. While not exclusive to Disney, I think that the ambiance is fantastic. It's great theming and the food is fantastic. Can I recommend, which I'm really going to be hungry because I've been thinking about these. We go on vacation with my parents next month. And we're going to go to Morimoto Asia. So the hamachi tacos were fantastic. The black cod was great. There were just everything we had there was good. And I think most people will like that food. And I think it's worth checking out. The decor inside is beautiful. So enjoy.
And the chat room's giving us lots of love on Ohana and the BR Guest restaurant for ambiance and food quality.
Yeah, that's true. If you can get in. That's the key, if you can get in.
Just say you know Ricky and you're in.
Right.
Right.
Right,
yeah, last,
doesn't work.
Last part of the last question of the day says, my brother is interested in going to the beer garden during this trip, mainly for the ambiance in the show. My family has not eaten in Germany in roughly 10 to 15 years, and at the time we were really unimpressed with the food. Do you know if the food has improved at this restaurant over the years, and do you feel it is worth it for the overall experience? Also, would you recommend it for lunch or dinner? Thanks so much. Looking forward to your responses. Again, Diane is in New Jersey. Okay, so I'm a huge fan of Beer Garden. I've been there a few times, and I think it's decent value for Epcot. It's probably one of the best table service values at Epcot still. And I like the food, but I love like sauerkrauts and sausages, but they have a lot of other stuff. Because I remember, you know, Paige didn't even mind it. And, you know, she's not a sauerkraut and sausage person. I think she did. Or I know at least Mallory did. So you're right. The atmosphere in there is awesome. I mean, it looks like a little village in Germany. You got the Oompa band there, you know, playing. And everybody's holding up their beer steins, cheering. You know, it's a fun place to eat. And I like the food. And I think the value is good. I think it's an overall great experience. Pam, what do you think? Beer Garden.
I don't you know, I think the food has improved some over the years. My stepdad travels frequently to Germany, and, you know, he has said, now we haven't eaten there in a while, but he has said when we've gone there that some of the food is very, you know, like what he gets when he's in Germany. In some ways, I mean, they have a lot of sauerbraten and schnitzel and sausage and, you know, things like that. But then they also have some great cold items that I think are unique and of good quality. The pretzel rolls. I mean, this is something, there are people who fall all over themselves to go to Canada to get the dang pretzel breads, and they have them right here at Beer Garden. Hello. Why didn't Beer Garden start a marketing campaign featuring pretzel rolls, right? People would be lined out the door. But there's some great things. There's good beer, and the entertainment's fantastic. So, you know, I think it's worth giving it a shot. I would not do it for lunch because, oh my gosh, I had to go lay down and take a nap after I ate there. Unless someone's going to push me around Epcot the rest of the day, I'd do it in the evening.
Yeah, and they asked, you know, whether they should do dinner or lunch. I would say dinner for the fact that you just finished with, Pam, is that after you eat all this sauerkraut and in, you know, sausage and like potatoes and all those starches and proteins, you're done. So you may be able to stumble outside and see Illuminations without much effort. That's probably a good idea, but you're definitely not one to take on Test Track after that. Or you at least you don't want to sit in the back seat behind somebody that's been to Beer Garden, you know, before.
That's
that.
What I was going to say. Your intestines may have something to say about this.
Well, the intestines were talking during the Super Bowl. So,
I know, right? You know. It's that little intestine guy. You'll see him.
Yeah, you don't want to be sitting again, you know, behind the pink large intestine on Test Track.
That's right.
And there was no left shark.
I think
shark.
That's the pink small intestine.
That wasn't small? His big brother must
no,
be purple?
I don't know. I'm just joking.
I couldn't tell. You know, it didn't
How
have
did one tell?
Yeah, I know. I mean, they got to be sitting next to each other to tell if it was large or small.
Exactly. They need to do commercial, like, version number two.
That's it.
When the large intestine meets the small intestine.
It was love at first sight.
That's right. And then they had other, when a mommy intestine loves a daddy intestine.
No.
Very much.
It gets back to the Super Bowl babies. That's exactly
That's right. And we're bringing it around.
And then you got the puppy monkey, the puppy monkey.
Oh, my
goodness. Monkey. Baby. Puppy monkey
baby. Puppy monkey baby. Baby. Yeah. Puppy monkey baby. That was disturbing.
That was definitely disturbing. If you didn't have nightmares about that, you don't have a soul. Anyway.
No.
Everybody that's not in the United States is wondering what we're talking about. But Super Bowl commercials.
Just YouTube puppy monkey baby. You'll find it. I promise.
Don't say you have not been warned.
No, do not say you have not been warned.
And welcome to your nightmare. All right.
That was a thing.
That's going to do it for us today. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com. And I can't check my iPhone because I'm streaming on it right now. I'm frantically checking my pockets, looking all over the place. Where'd it go?
Uh-oh.
It's right here. Hey, I'm looking at it right now. But I want to tell you about Theme Park News Disney Edition. This is the app you need. It's absolutely free. It's for your iOS device. And it gives you the headlines of all the news going on today and right now around the Disney universe. Like right now, if I was to check it, which I can't because we're streaming, I'm sure there's a story on there about Peyton Manning leading the parade on Monday out at Disneyland. You know, it's keeping you up to date with everything going on over at Disney Springs, Animal Kingdom, Disney's Hollywood Studios, and more. If you want to keep up with all your Disney news, do it in one place with this great free iOS app. Check it out today. It's called Theme Park News Disney Edition. You can get it right now over at virtualmickey.com. The next Be Our Guest Podcast live show comes your way on February 21st. That's a Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right there at BeOurGuestPodcast.com live. And I know there's a little TV show that night. I'm not going to try to hide it from you. It's like some, like, I don't know, something from Disneyland about a 60.
Yeah, something.
You know, we were going to change the date. We're like, you know what? They're going to change their date. We're going to make ABC reschedule that thing.
I may have it on whilst, you know, I'm just saying.
Whilst? Where are you from? Yes. I thought you were from Georgia. Now you're from, like, England? Whilst? What was that? Anyway, join us because you have a DVR, so that way you can watch it time and time again anyway. So join us Sunday night, February 21st.
Yeah, it's not like I'm not recording it.
That's
but,
it.
Yeah, still.
So 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, new location, brguestpodcast.com/live. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio. We're expanding the station each and every day. A big shout out to my good friend Brian down in Springfield, Missouri, who is helping me program the new 2.0 Magical Mouse Radio. We hope you're enjoying the mix, and it's getting wider and wider each day. So check it out today. Leave it on all day, all night. And it sounds great on the TuneIn app. It's a free app for iOS and Android devices. MagicalMouseRadio.com and on TuneIn. Check that out. You can give us a follow on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And if you don't mind, you have a little bit of time this week, drop by iTunes. Leave a rating and a review of the podcast. We really, really appreciate that. That keeps us relevant in the ratings. We've been really up there the last month or so, and we appreciate that so much because you drop by and you give us some reviews and you download the podcast and spread the word. We're really enjoying some good times on iTunes. We want to keep that momentum going. So thank you so much for helping us with that. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Wednesday. Thanks so much for checking in and for always submitting the questions and comments. You can do that right now if you like. Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get you on the show right away. And make sure you come back on Friday because we're going to play a little game called Is This Romantic? And you got the three most romantic people in the world right here to make the judgment. So I don't know what could go wrong with that. So make sure you tune in on Friday. That's right. That's it. I don't know if we are. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. So thank you so much for downloading the show. For Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.